have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Without you ain't the same. Yeah, never locked in a cage. I got song, are you singing alone in heaven? You told me I'll feel at home. Follow righteousness, but sometimes I'm seeing it wrong. Cross my heart, but I don't hope to die. Forgive my pain when I'm open, cry. You cried before you died on the cross for my sins. Cause you know I was lost, but then again, you told me I would find my way. That's why I cry some days before I pray. You delivered me from old ways. I'm reminiscing on the good old days. And some say, yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to keep faith when your life is in such a dark place. That's why I get on my knees and give praise to my Lord and Savior every day. Life is hard, but ain't nothing harder than being a father, giving up your son. Thank you, God, for the chosen one who washed away my sins so I can be reborn.
Look. kid don't cry. That's like saying angels don't fly. Like saying that Lucifer don't lie. Like saying that soul flesh won't die. Nah, I don't wanna die too soon. It's like a werewolf without a full moon. Like a vampire with no blood. Like a Christian brother showing no love. Nah, none of that makes sense. Men don't cry, that don't make sense. Lord, I wanna cry now. And with the Holy Ghost, it's hard for me to calm down. I was lost now, I'm found. Spiritually free, but physically locked down. Waiting on my best years, I'm drenched in a pillow of wet tears. Some say that.
Sometimes it's hard to keep faith when your life is in such a dark place. That's why I get on my knees and give praise to my Lord and Savior every day. Life is hard, but ain't nothing harder than being a father, giving up your son. Thank you, God, for the chosen one who washed away my sins so I can be reborn.
I got a lump in my throat, this is a tearjerker, Lord. I gotta go a little further. What Lucifer did was clear murder. He did things that I never ever heard of. And that's something to cry for. You're magnificent, something to die for. Perfection is something I strive for. Nonfiction, nothing to lie for. My mother stands tall when she only 5'4". Your name is the only name I adore. Had a rough past, can't rewind time. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Take communion with bread and wine. Body and blood, Lord, you're forever mine. Some people give up instead of trying. Go ahead and cry, cause I cry.
Sometimes it's hard to keep faith when your life is in such a dark place. That's why I get on my knees and give praise to my Lord and Savior every day. Life is hard, but ain't nothing harder than being a father, giving up your son. Thank you, God, for the chosen one who washed away my sins so I can be reborn.
This is for men, this is Ali. This is for men, cause it's God breathe. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, hope you hear it. Things look clearer when you look in the mirror. Walking down the valley cause he led me. Fed me from the pages with the red ink. Translated for my boys with the rock ready. Heat under the seat inside the box Chevy. Listen man, I was asleep, I was dead. Been transformed, I'm a sheep, now I'm led. Away from the edge, gotta do what it said. You're not tuned in to the bed. I got soul. He gave me so much soul. Now back to the message. Let's take it way back to my mama's Lexus. In 96, I let it knock just for the beat. It was a beast, tan brown with butter seat. I'm far from a hermit, dry but just a permit. 15 and swerving, all I got to learn is a little big and pop. They would teach. I played Marvin Gaye through the Maywood Street. What's going on is not a secret of mine. The good Lord said if you seek, you would find. 5 more years, I'm the preacher in line. With rhymes that can speak to the time.
I got soul. You gave me so much soul.
And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became What it become, man? A living soul. That's right. Yeah. 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 The Northwest call that summer me. I'm fly, man. Winter, fall, summer, spring. Young boy, call me old school. They say I'm so cool and I'm no fool. They like the perspective I seem to bring. I guess that's how it is when you sing to things. Cause I've been high, atop a thin terrace. I've seen men die, seen men perish. Still never losing focus, of course. My eyes on the throne, my hopes in the Lord. He gives keys that can open the door. And he's about to open it more. I got some.
K-Web, we got the messenger, Scoop, God Squad, what up, Grace? Yeah, hey, check this out. Yeah, hey, I got favor,
I got favor,
yes, I got favor,
yes, I got favor,
hey, I got favor,
God Squad,
yes, I got favor,
God Squad,
hey, I got favor,
yes,
hey, I got favor,
yes,
forget a hater,
forget a hater,
cause I got favor,
cause I got favor,
hey, I got favor,
hey, I got favor,
yes, I got favor,
hey, I got favor,
hey, I got favor,
hey, I got favor,
yes, I got favor,
yes, I got favor,
hey, I got favor,
God Squad,
yes, I got favor,
God Squad,
forget a hater,
who?
Hey, I got faith. Live the life of sin. I thank God that I'm alive. Guns drawn at me at 16. I didn't die. People thought I'd be in jail cause I used to steal. But I never been to jail. I'ma keep it real.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus turned my life around and he let me know.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Minister Cedric. I'm happy to be back. I've had a great week. Everything's been going well. Hope everybody's doing fine. What a beautiful Friday it is. I've just enjoying the good things that have been coming my way. It's been wonderful. Thank y'all again for tuning in to Elation Radio. Today is Friday, once again, May the 20th, man, it's hard to believe, we're almost at summer. I'm loving these warm days, but it's just, it's been going good. So before we get started here, I want to go ahead and bring on my partner, my cohort, my buddy, Jason, you on with me tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here. How we doing today?
Doing good, man. It's been good.
Yeah, I don't know how you feel about these summer days, but these Texas summers aren't pretty. We're already about to hit triple digits, so we're not looking forward to this. But I'll let you have your summers, but these Texas summers are no joke.
Well, preferably I get to get there this year. Be hanging out around July or August, be enjoying some of that heat. I love it, but Well, we've kind of been mild the last couple of days, but tomorrow's supposed to be quite warm up here. well, again, I'm glad to have everybody back. Hope everybody had a good time. Man, another good week. Now, this week, last week, Jason, we were talking a topic last week, and I thought, wow. But the one thing that stuck to me, it was just something. It was something that stuck with me from last week, and that was when we were talking about being responsible. I could not get the word dating out of my head. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And so I've been thinking about it all week, and I just was like, you know what? Let's just have a talk about dating today. How we actually date as Christian men, you know, some wonderful things. Why do we date? And Jason, I know you got an interesting take on dating, you know, and I definitely want to talk about it. You know, I think it's essential personally, but I kind of wanted to just touch on the subject just a little bit. I mean, we got an hour. We may as well talk about it. Jason's down in that miserable heat in Texas. I'm up here in Kentucky. You know, I just want to touch on it a little bit. That's all. What you think, Jason?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. All right, because you know me, I got a big old hard head. But let's start off real easy. Let's start off real easy because the thing that got me even thinking about this is last week I remember reading a scripture, Proverbs 18:22, when it says, "He who finds a good wife, I mean, he who finds a wife finds a good, finds what is good and receives favor." When I was reading that scripture last week, and not just favor, but you receive favor from the Lord. So I was thinking about that, and I was sitting back, and I found myself saying, you know what, I had to admit it, that I really would like to meet someone, settle down, get married, all those wonderful things. I found myself thinking about that a lot last week. So Jason, I'm just going to ask a quick question. Why do we date? What's the big deal?
Well, I think you hit on it. I think if you really study scripture, and especially the creation story, you see how God just very intentionally created the various things, earth, sky, wind, water, and land, seas, and then he started creating animals, and he created Adam first, and then continued to create animals, and God said it himself, it's just not good for being to be alone. Now, when we hear that scripture, you know, you got to think, he's already created all these animals. You know, so a lot of us, you know, we find companionships in our dogs, our cats, our pets. But even God thought that that's not good enough, right? That's not good for man to be alone. So he created woman. We created that relationship and that longing between man and woman. So I think to seek and desire that is something God has placed on each and every one of our hearts. And it's part, if you look at the creation, it's part of our original design. Now, how we go about fulfilling that desire, well, I mean, I think that's where we are today, right?
Okay.
If you notice originally, dating really wasn't an option, right?
Yeah.
It was really simple. You know, Adam was chilling, doing what he's supposed to do, serving God like he's supposed to serve, being a good steward over the things God gave him dominion over, and God presented him a woman. There was never a search. There was never a look. There was never a pursuit. It was, you know, if I would say the pursuit was to really come into alignment with God, and in that pursuit, one of the blessings God gave to him was that woman and that companionship. But I think ultimately, you know, we can dive in that part a little bit later, but ultimately when you ask, why do we pursue that other person? Why do we have that pursuit of the opposite sex? I think there is a God-given longing for us to have that, you know, and God said in himself, not good for us to be alone, let me create woman.
Okay. I'm gonna jump in, but I'm gonna ask the opinion. I think we have another guest on with us. Our mystery guest, he's been gone for a while. Hello, Mr. Witt. Mr. Chris, how are you on with me tonight?
Yes. Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, what's going on, man? Been a while.
Oh, ain't nothing, man. Ain't nothing going on. I'm I'm checking out the conversation, and what I feel is the reason we date is to find a mate, and the reason why I keep it so short like that is,
yeah.
Well, why did God say man shouldn't be alone? God wasn't alone. That should answer your question right there.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that God was married, but he had a companion, whether it had been Jesus or, you know, Abraham, Enoch, he had a companion. Don't nobody, who wants to die alone? Don't nobody want to die alone.
Okay. So in context, I want to push it out here. It's the reason why I asked this question. Is because, again, I couldn't get it off my mind from last week, but I was also talking to some young men, and I thought, you know what, this would be a perfect topic to talk about because these young men, because today, you know, I hate to say it, but today, you know, it's a little, it's just like it was when we was growing up. The mature folk, the older folks say, man, they just out of hand. But when I think of the young people today, it's why do we date? And, Chris, I'm like you. I like to keep it simple. And y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the purposes we have, or one of the reasons why we date, here it is, real simple, and I think a lot of our young people miss it today, is we kind of sort of get to learn how to treat each other. We got to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We get to learn how to interact. And before we can get to marriage, before we can get to that lifelong partner, you know, we don't want to die alone. You know, we kind of sort of want to have a good relationship. And and while you're at it, you know, you're getting to know somebody. I think that while you're at it, you know, you might want to start learning some things. You know what I'm saying? You might want to start to learn how to align your plans with the plans that God has for you. Does that make sense? Did I just overcomplicate that?
No, I think it makes sense. Yeah, uh-huh. I think you make sense with it, but I think that is a very idealistic view about dating, right? To learn about the other person, to really learn how to interact and how to serve and give and love that other person. I think idealistically that would be great if that's what dating is, right?
Uh-huh.
But what I see dating as, and I think Chris alluded to it, it's I'm trying to find me a mate, right? And in that pursuit of the mate, I will tell you, and I've been dating for a while, it's not about the other person initially or even long term. It's you know, you walk into a situation, and it's one of the funniest situations I ever walk into. I meet these young women, and they'll tell me they have this long laundry list of 20 items that a guy has to have, right? And when and it's really their desire. This is what I want in a man. This is what he has to give to me. And then I ask them, what if God gives you something different? And inevitably the response is, well, God wouldn't do that to me. So I always refer him back to Hosea. It's like, hey, you want to check on that? But when you talk about dating and that whole process, I think idealistically, yeah, we should take that time to get to know another. But realistically, we all walk in with our own selfish motives. Like, this is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. You know, things like, I don't want to be alone, right? And a lot of times in that dating process, you know, a good dating process would allow the individuals to get past that selfishness and really start thinking about the couple or we. Most dating processes, you just learn how to combine those individuals, right? You never become the 1+1 that you see in scripture, where we become like one mind, one body. We move in unison with one another. Individual personalities, but oneness, right, in spirituality. You know, that's what the Bible says about marriage. But most marriage, and I think it's the way we date, leads to how do I keep my individuality and you keep your individuality, and we just kind of put those individuals together, like two silos touching each other instead of everything poured in one silo.
Okay, because see, it sounds like to me that you're saying, Mr. Cedric, can you be realistic in your approach? Can you Can you stop focusing on this fantasy that you created about who this ideal woman is? And I think that's important because a lot of us, as men, we have these grandiose ideas because we've been looking at a lot of TV. Like, some of us want relationships, and which is good, that we ain't never seen before. In other words, my parents, when I was young, my parents argued all the time, and I couldn't wait to get out of the house, right? But all of a sudden, I'm the youngest of all these kids, and I'm gone from the house about 2 years, about 3 years. I come home, and I look at my parents, and I'm looking like, was this Cliff and Claire Huxtable back in the 1980s? I'm like, they get along like almost perfect. They finish in each other's sentences. They no longer fuss at each other when they have a disagreement. They don't have harsh words. They're like so docile, and it was scary to me. So one of the things I say about us is when we start creating that ideal relationship in our minds, I think we need to let go of the fantasy. Let's work with what really truly is. And let's start thinking about, like, what's ahead of us. You know, one of the things I would say to especially young men today, when you do meet someone, is focus. Think about your future together. Because when you meet this young lady, look, I get it. You most of us are we look externally and we say, whoa, right? One of the few brothers I know who is not all that hung up on what a woman looks like when they date, Jason, I got to admit, it's you, right? You always say, I'm not worried about what she looks like, right? Because it's going to fade. And so it's like a real deal. And one of my issues as a young man was this right here. See, what keeps us from building relationships and that oneness that y'all were talking about is that connection. We got all these secret struggles. Either one of y'all got some secret struggles. You don't have to reveal it to me, but either one of y'all got some struggles you deal with, and then when you finally meet that young lady that you want to be with, you still holding on to those secret struggles? Either one of y'all got those struggles?
Yeah, I'm going to break something down to you, you know.
Break it down.
This is real deep. God is our parent, right? He's our father, right?
Okay. I go with that.
Who knows us better than our parents? So if you go back to Africa, Egypt, what did our parents do then? They acted like a God figure. They said, well, I know what type of woman he should be with. And like God did. God said, well, I'm going to give Adam Eve. I know this is the type of woman he wants because this is the type of woman that was prepared for Adam. So when our parents look at us, they say, well, yeah, he this and that. This is the type of woman he needs, but what do we do? Oh, no, my mama, well, she can't tell me who to be with and all this. And that's where the struggles come in. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's where the struggles come in because when you were speaking a few minutes ago, oh, my parents, they all want now. They finishing each other's sentences. Why is that? Financially, that's one of the main reasons that our parents struggled back in the day. Oh, well, you spent too much money, or you did this and this and this. But when the kids are grown and out of there, they ain't got to worry about all that. You kind of get a sense of where I'm going with it?
I got a question.
Before you ask your question, I think you hit on a point, and I think in hitting on that point, we just kind of really undermine the whole process of dating, right? We all say dating is to find a mate, but if we truly believe, like you said, who knows us better than anybody but God? So the reality is, instead of us dating and trying to seek and find people, why don't we just wait for God to bring it to her? Right?
Exactly. That's my point.
Okay, so that's the point you're making. So mm-hmm. You know, we all talk about this dating process, but once again, I want to lead us back to Adam. Adam was not seeking anything. All Adam was seeking was a relationship with God. And because we serve a God that's so loving and so caring, he basically said, you know what? You don't need to be alone. Let me get you somebody else, right? Now, fast forward, here we are, you know, 2003, however many years later, we're now to the point where I need to go find me a man or I need to go find me a mate. And I'm not going to lie, I am bad about this because once, you know, when I'm sitting there single, I have a great brother at church, and he recently just got married, and he tells me all the time, just sit and wait. God's going to bring you the woman that you want to. He wants you to have, and he's got an incredible marriage with this beautiful woman. And if you watch their marriage, it's something that I tell him every day. I aspire to have a marriage like yours, but he is a living witness of sitting and waiting, which. Reality. Let's go back to the reality of what we're dealing with. That's difficult.
So that's why I'm going to go with that. So, my thing is this. Y'all remember the movie Fireproof with Kirk Cameron about the firefighter who basically was mentally abusive to his wife and he neglected her in every way possible, and he was doing every secular thing you could want. He was selfish. He was addicted to pornography. You know, he just had a whole bunch going on, right? And then
that's where the love dare came from, right?
That is exactly where the love dare came from.
Yeah,
came from that movie. But he realized at some point that he wasn't living up to the standard that God had laid out before him, right? And without going through all the I wouldn't say hoopla, but without trying to go through the whole movie, he had a struggle. I guess the point I'm trying to make is in order for him to get back in right standing with God, and I want all of us to understand this part. I understand this part. You don't have to be married to have to get through here. But in order for us to get in right standing with God, right, or get back in, or however you want to put it, but in order for us to be in right standing with God, what we need to do is we need to deal with these what I like to call the secrets that we have. We need to deal with that because when we take those secrets, like in Kirk Cameron's case in the movie, you know, his addiction to porn, right? He took that into his marriage and it damaged his marriage. We take those things with us and we bring them with us. You know, we try to have this wonderful life, but we bring all this stuff with us. And the fact of the matter is the reason I say deal with these sins, deal with the secrets that we have is because they affect every part of our lives. Because look what happens. I have this sin. Let's say my secret sin is I love looking at women, so I sneak to the strip clubs. Well, I ain't touching them. I'm just having a drink with the boys. It leads to something bigger. What if one of the waitresses or one of the girls dance and slips me a phone number because for some reason that day I was attracted to her? Or she just wanted to wreck somebody's home. All of a sudden, I've invited sin in. So I'm just saying, another thing I think that we should all do is we got to deal with those secrets. Because, man, when you expose a thing, it takes the power away from the enemy. Y'all know when you're trying to hide something, the enemy starts to act like he owns you. You know what I'm saying? Every time the wind blows, you got to try to hide this secret. You know what I'm saying? And you're doing more and more to cover it up. And just like the old commercial used to say back in the day, you tell one lie, then you tell two lies, they cover up each other. You know what I'm saying? And then you tell the three lies, and it goes on and on, the little jingle that they made up. So that's one of the things that I think that we have to be careful of when we are quote unquote dating, or as I like to put it, getting to know someone so we'll know how to treat them. And then the next thing what we got to do, I believe, is again, man, let's not expect too much, and then let's also not expect too little. And we're talking relationships here. We're talking spending time with that somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, why are you dating this woman? Why don't you work on your interpersonal skills? Why don't you also check it out? Look, when you're working on a relationship with that young lady, right, y'all working on y'all's relationship, why don't you also do this? Work on your relationship with God at the same time. Now, do either of you guys intentionally invite God into your relationship?
Well,
give me an example.
I'll tell you in the dating relationship, I actually have a different perspective. I'm not trying to date you, the individual. I'm trying to connect with God, and we do that collectively. And then through there, we can learn everything we need to know about one another. right? You talk about the baggage and the healing and bringing things into the relationship. I'll tell you, at this age, you know, I call it middle-aged dating. At this age, whatever baggage you had, whatever baggage you had, I mean, you can't get rid of it, honestly, because if you could, you would have already done it. So the way I look at it is I walk into a relationship knowing that I have baggage, but I also walk in a relationship knowing that I have a God that can heal me of that baggage. And maybe this person isn't the person that's going to heal me, but is going to create the environment to allow God to come in and heal me. So when you talk about the dating relationship, for me, I think it's really more, it's less about the individual. It's about the we. And that's what I always tell everybody. It's not about the me, it's about the we. And the we, and you know, when he said that's quarter three stand, it's you, it's her, me, and God, right? And so we intentionally, you know, read scripture together, listen to different podcasts and devotionals. And have a conversation. Like a lot of my conversations, I'll tell you about my day, like, hey, I did this, but I like to tell you about how God moved in my life today, the environment, you know, the opportunities he's given me. And when you're talking to me about your day, I like to ask, you know, where do you see God in this? So, yeah, I agree with you. I think to bring God into the center of the relationship is the best thing for it. You know, that's where you start having thriving relationships, not relationships that just survive, but they thrive.
Yeah. Right. I like that. I like that. Chris, I got to ask you a question. Now, do you agree with this concept? Do you agree that, hey, we should always bring God in?
Yes. to a certain extent, I agree
with that.
What I do is, first of all, when I meet her, I ask her, do you know God? Do you believe in God? Once I get the response from her, yes, I know God. I think, okay. Right now we can work something out now because you know God and I know God. You know what I'm saying? So, it's not the point that I'm trying to force God on you or anything like that. I need to know if you know about God and Jesus Christ. And if you do, then that's the first step. I said, okay, that's the first step that we can make together. Okay, let's go to church down the street right here and just enjoy Sunday afternoon listening to the word. So that's what I get when I first meet somebody. If you don't know God, you don't even know me because I know God. So,
So my question to both of y'all is this right here. Because it sound like we all know what to say. We all know what we're supposed to do. I'm going to go here a little bit. So what if you meet somebody or have you ever met someone where they gave you all the right answers, but they walk wasn't quite in line with their talk? What do you do?
Yeah,
so
that's exactly where I was going. I don't ask a woman if she knows God, right? I don't even ask that question. I tell her what I met, and I just start walking it out, and I'll see where she's at. Because we all say the same things, and even myself, I may say, oh, I love Jesus and this, but, you know, 2 weeks later, you catch me doing something, it's like, what Jesus do you know? Right? So for me, I'm more about the walk. But I also tell you, when I walk into a relationship, I take that leadership role for real, right? So I don't believe in what I call missionary dating. I'm not going to date you to save you, right? But I do believe if God placed me in your presence, that's for me to show you and tell you how I walk with Christ. So maybe you can develop your walk with Christ. But it's not like I'm not missionary dating you to try to save you. And I think you see this a lot with women to men, right, where, oh, you know, he just needs a woman to love him, and he'll be that, and he'll be great. And I tell my daughters all the time, like, baby, we don't missionary date. We're not dating to save nobody. Only God can save them. You know, now, with that being said, I do believe that behind every great man is a great woman. And I think the right woman, I heard Steve Harvey said this. He said a man will change, but he may not change for you. I think when the right woman walks into a man's life, it's going to inspire him to be greater than where he is right then. And that man may not be fulfilling his full potential, but then when that woman walks in, he sees that. He knows that. And then he has an internal drive to do better. So these women out here with a man that ain't working, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, But what I'm saying is this. You shouldn't have to bring a newspaper to his table every day in his breakfast to say, hey, baby, there's some jobs there, right? He should be like, oh, I got this great woman. You know what? You know what? I want to keep this great woman. Let me do something different, right? But I tell you, man, you got to walk it out, you know? So, you know, we talk about putting Christ in the center, but I think as men, we have to lead that out. We have to show them, right? I don't ask my woman, you know, does she want to go to church with me? I'm telling her, hey, we're going to church this Sunday, right? And she wants to push back, she pushes back. But I don't know. I think in that role as leadership, we have to establish, like, what is fundamentally important in our relationship, right? And the longer we try to spend figuring each other out and focus on the me, and not the we, I think that's where relationships go bad.
Okay. Okay. Because I'm liking what you're saying. Focus on the we and not the me. And the we meaning the relationship as a whole, right? Like not
yep.
so much that Jason's needs get met, but the relationship's needs get met, right? And we're putting
yes.
God first. I asked that
but
question.
But, you know, before I let you go on, there is this really big misconception where people think if I'm happy, then that's what's best for the relationship. And I have broken many hearts to tell some people what's good for you may not be always good for the relationship. So it becomes very heartbreaking when I tell people, hey, I'm putting the we first, and every move I make is going to be for the we. It may not make you, the individual, happy. It may not make you the individual. It may piss you, the individual, off, but it's good for the we. And we have to trust each other to move that way. Because I believe that, you know, when you've been single for a long period of time, you just have – it's just so easy to get caught up in your own self and just your wants and desires and to forget about how do I live for others, right? So I'm sorry. I just want to let you know. I just want to cut that in, but, you know, I'll let you get back to it.
That's all right, because I think it's important. I think it's important that we understand why we do the things we do, and once we kind of have an idea, because let's just be honest. I mean, dating in America is something that we learned about. We need out of grasshoppers. We got little kindergartners. Oh, 2-3-year-olds. Oh, they look so cute together. Oh, they holding hands. You know, but we learn to be together. Right, you know, as mates, but we don't really understand why we do what we do. Why is it so important? And I think a lot of times, a lot of our relationships fail because that's it. You know, we join in these relationships. We're extremely selfish. We give in to our every whim. We try to date people that we are. And there used to be a time in my life when I did not like this term, where we are unequally yoked. In other words, that the person we're with spiritually is not on they're not on the same spiritual level that we are. Does not mean they have to go to church. No, does not mean that they have to know God the same way you know God. What it does mean is that I believe this is me. What it does mean is they have to have a open heart and a willingness to love God. And so when I think of being unequally yoked, I think of a whole bunch of things. Like I got a daughter right now who says that if that man don't make at least what I make, I can't really date him, Dad, because I've had horrible experiences with guys who they think I make so much money, and they just feel inferior to me because I make more money than them. I'm like, okay, as a man, I ain't never had that problem. You know what I'm saying? I would love it if I dated somebody who made more money than me. We on top of the world. Let's go do this. But also, I think it helps us and it teaches us. Either one of you guys ever been in a relationship where this relationship was, passion was overflowing? Y'all ever been in a relationship like that?
Yeah, I want to go back to your daughter. And I think it's interesting because I've heard that before. Where people say, like, hey, I can't date a man to make less than me because there's too much issue. I'm just going to tell you, you just got a soft man, right? I mean, and I think I'll tell you, like, most of the women I've dated, they've actually made more than me. And I think if a man's identity is defined in how much money he make, I always ask people this, does our bank account define our authority? right? Because if you're telling me whoever makes the most gets to be in charge, I'm going to have to refer you back to Scripture, right? Scripture never said, like, hey, whoever makes the most gets to be in charge. That's never been the way, you know. But I think on the opposite end, as a man, you know, you just gotta understand how God has blessed you, and maybe He has blessed this woman to do really great, and she's honored those gifts and those talents, and she's had made a great name for herself. Well, you don't want to ever tear a woman down, or you don't want to do anything but build that woman up and help her become the best version that she needs to be. So my little insecurities, just because you make a little bit more money than me, I got to find a way to get past all that, because that's not what God has. That's not what God wants, you know? I've been in those relationships, and I'll tell you, but this kind of goes back to how we started this. Why do we date? And I think when we talk about dating, I think the first dating relationship you have to have is with God Himself. I'm going to pursue you, God. And in that pursuit of you, you're going to reveal things to me. So that when I am going to bring another human being into this, I've gotten my identity. I found myself. I know exactly where I am. So if you bless me with a woman who makes 3 times the amount of money I am, I can still be the man you call me to be. If you bless me with a woman who can't work and I now have to provide for everybody, me, myself, and her too, then I can do those things because I've gotten secure in who I am, you know, in my identity. So if you want to talk about dating, I think the first dating relationship has to start with God.
All right. I think you're right, because, again, getting to know yourself, getting to know the other person, because a lot of times, you know, a lot of us, we act like we were brought up in a barn, and then nothing could be further from the truth. You know, I've met men who seem to have it together, and I've done counseling with men like this. They seem to just have it all together. And then you go into that room and close that door behind you, and you start your counseling session, and you find that initially they are standoffish. They're not really trying to talk about their problems. But sometimes you got to give them a few weeks. Sometimes you got to give them a few months. Then all of a sudden they open up. And they tell you about the deepest insecurities. That's why I say you got to deal with your secrets. See, a lot of us are bound because we don't deal with this stuff. A lot of us expect our mate to be this magical release valve. That's why when I talk about don't live in no fantasy world, you know, you got to address it from a realistic point of view. And I think that we get lost in that, Jason. I think a lot of times we get lost in that because we got these idyllic thoughts in our minds, like, oh, I met this girl and it's going to be so lovely. I found this mate. And then we find that, wait a minute, I want to follow God. I want to pursue the Lord. And then this person I'm with does not want to pursue God. This person I'm with is all about satisfying the flesh, not because it's a bad thing, because that's the thing that they have learned growing up. Ain't that what the world teaches us? You know, the Army used to have this saying. When I joined the Army, it was, be all that you can be. Oh, yeah. Keep on moving. Keep on growing. You're in the Army. Wow. I can't remember. I remember that all the way back from 1988, 1987. But it's about me. But that's not, that's an individual effort. But what people did not realize, that was your individual effort towards the total collective effort. That's, people miss what teamwork is. So I get stuck on that kind of thing, and we allow our inner passions to overtake us in life. Whatever feels good, that's what I'm gonna do. And I think that's another way we derail our relationships, right? I think our relationships get derailed because of that. Jason, you mentioned about leading and being the head of the household, you know, why is it so important to be a leader in a relationship? Well, think about Genesis. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say, you came across the point I was getting ready to make, leadership. Regardless who makes the more money, God said this, the man should lead. So I'm the leader. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to make a decision.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I mean, go ahead.
Now, I'm not going to make a decision without you, but at the end of the day, the man is supposed to lead and the woman is supposed to follow. So if you're showing good characteristics by going to church, showing her that you are following God, I believe that a good woman who loves you, like, wow, he's doing this, he's doing that. Well, I'm going to follow him. When God brings a woman into your life, she can be the baddest woman in the world or, you know, have no characteristics about knowing him. But when she looks at you and see, oh, this is what the good life is like, let me follow him and get on track. And I think us as men, when we do that, show them it, the best four-letter word that we can ever hear is love, L-O-V-E, and that's what God is about. But on the other side, S-H-O-W, show me you love me. Show me you know God. Don't just say, well, this is what it's supposed to be. And I think us as men get that kind of confused when we don't do that. That's when the problems occur. You know, well, he ain't going to church every Sunday. He don't, you know. No,
but
that's, that's just my point.
Right, but how do we live out that example? You mentioned show me. You know, okay, I guess we're going to go to Missouri today. But you mentioned show me. How do we show? How is that inward expression of love? How do we bring that to the forefront, make it an outward thing? How do we do that? You know, Go ahead. I'm listening.
If you're a follower of God and you know what God is about, it's simple. God is about love. So if you're following God and what God wants, it's gonna glow. It's got like a glowing, like the light. What's the song in the church we used to sing? This little light of mine gonna shine. Everybody gonna see that. Even the woman you with.
Okay.
Yeah, I think with that four-letter word, those four-letter words you say, I think there's a bigger word. And I think the bigger word is submission, right? And Chris, you said it, you know, we're supposed to lead, right? And I'll tell everybody that date. They have the hardest position to be in because if they're doing what God calls them to do, then they're submitting themselves to that man in full faith, right? And they're going to follow that man, and they're going to allow that man to lead. But I tell every woman like this, you need to make sure who that man is submitting to, right? And as a man, my leadership is not about my authority, my dominance. My leadership is about my servitude, right? So I don't expect a woman to allow me to lead until I can show her I can serve. And I can serve God first. I can serve her, the woman. I can serve my kids. I can serve everything that God has placed in my life to be a steward over. And if I'm not showing that selfless, the key word is selfless, servitude, then I don't expect any woman to follow me. Right? And I tell you this because this is what I tell my daughters. I'm like, I expect you to submit to that man. But if that man ain't submitting to God, then you submitted to mess. And we don't do that. Right? So it's important. If we're gonna talk about leadership as men and expect these women to submit, they need to see who we submitted to. And it's not just me going to church. It's not just me, you know, going up to the church every Sunday and helping the men clean up and stuff. It's about when that time comes and she wants me to do something, and I really don't want to do it. And I have no. I'm like, I ain't trying to do all this. That I'm going to submit my will to what God tells me to do. And if God tells me to do that for that woman, whether I like to do it or not, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it joyfully, right? I'm going to show her what submission looks like. So now when she has to sit back and say, okay, can I submit to this man? Of course I can, because that man is submitted to God. And, you know, and that's what I always tell people. I'm like, you need to check that man, right? If you don't see that submission, if you have to ask, are you submitted to God? Then you already know the answer. Yeah, because that's what we have to show, right? But that goes back to that leadership I tell you about, that we have to model it. We have to walk it out, right? So, you know, so when we talk about, you know, women letting men lead, we're talking about that key word is submission. But that submission is not just on one side of it. It's if you read that scripture, man submits to God, right? And in that submission, if you really understand what that means, it's no longer about what I want, right? Yeah, man, I want that. Oh, man, that 50-inch TV is out there. Man, I want to go get that. You know what? My baby ain't had a vacation in a while. Let me go and send her on vacation with her girls, right? That's what submission is. It's about a selfless love. It's about saying I'm going to put someone before myself, just like God, just like Christ put us before His own personal wants and desire. So yeah, I mean we want to go down that submission tail, and hey, I can lead. Well, you know, our leadership got to look kind of look like how God led in submission.
And that right there, I'm glad the two of you brought it up, because that's what leadership looks like. In other words, the reason why I was asking before, why do you find a woman that's equally yoked? Why do you spend the time to get to know her? Why do you be like the person that you want to be with? The reason is, check this out. The reason why following God is so important, I believe, and I could be wrong with this, but I believe this. If she's willing to submit to the word of God, you see her submit to God, then she'll find it a lot more easily to submit to you as well as you follow Christ, as you follow God. If you're willing to submit to the word of God, you will be more apt to do what Jason was talking about, right? You will submit to your wife. And submitting is not this crazy, it's not being subservient. It's not being a slave to a person, but submitting means to just what you just said, Jason, put the needs of your spouse above your own. Because I believe this, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, and both of y'all hear me when I say this. I truly believe this. If I was giving a young man some advice today, the bit of advice I would give him is this. Your duty is to love your wife. Your duty is to, here it is, to learn your wife. Your wife's duty is to learn you. Your wife's duty is to be more concerned about you than she is herself, and vice versa, because if both of you spend that time, right, taking care of one another's needs the way you would take care of your own needs, then am I right or wrong? Wouldn't all needs be met in that relationship? Or at least they have a better chance of being met because y'all communicating. She realizes, well, Chris comes home from work at 6:30. He would much rather eat dinner at 6:45 before he took a shower, or go take a shower and come straight to dinner. If she thought enough of him to make that happen, he wakes up in the morning, he knows that my wife likes to have pancakes and eggs, and I get up earlier than she does, so he'll be more apt to make that. You know, and these are very general descriptions, but these are it's the little things that make that relationship work. And am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right.
I think that it's imperative that we do it that way. And as far as Jason was just talking about obedience, how many of us have ever heard obedience is better than sacrifice? You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. What does it mean? And I guess I'll let the both of you answer this. Chris, what does it mean to be obedient to the word of God? How would you help me out? I'm a young man. What does it mean for me to be obedient to the word of God as opposed to that sacrifice? What would it mean to be obedient?
The sacrifices to me would be too much harder. So to be obedient to God is to study. When you're going to be obedient to someone or somebody or a higher power, you have to study. What is God about? Who is God? You have to introduce, and that's what I wanted to say before you asked me that question. Introductory is the best cure for a relationship. Introduce your significant other. Let me introduce her. When you meet somebody, you're introducing yourself to her. And when you talk about God, you're introducing her to God if she don't already know him. So to be obedient to God is study.
Okay.
Repetition.
Okay.
You have to do that.
But being obedient to God, wouldn't you agree that it means going further than just studying?
Yeah, I was
once you study and learn him, yeah.
I think obedience is just that. I mean, let's not make this difficult. You know, I tell my kid to do something. What does an obedient kid look like? Obedient kid doesn't look like someone who just studies what daddy says. It's someone who does what daddy says, right? And they do what daddy said, and they do it joyfully. And it's none of this, why do I got to do it this time? Or I have to ask you more than once. It's okay, Dad, I'll knock it out for you. So when we talk about obedience, you know, to the word, it goes to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do what I've been asked to do, and I'm going to do it joyfully, and I'm going to do it knowing that this is the blessing for me, right? You know, so when I'm coaching young men and I talk to them about obedience, it's not that just doing the action, you know. First of all, it's doing something, but it goes beyond just doing it. It's the heart in which you're doing it with, right? Where true obedience isn't begrudgingly, fine, Daddy, I'll clean my room. And, you know, and you clean it, you know. And you know, a lot of times when you have that funky attitude, you're going to do a half-butt job with it, right? You know,
right.
And, you know, and even if you do a good job, once again, that's just the action, right? Real obedience is about the heart too. It's about what's in the heart manifesting itself in your actions. You know,
I didn't mean to cut you off, Jason, but let me ask you a question. Why should I be obedient now? And the reason why I say that, why should I be obedient to you? Because when I'm obedient to God, at certain points in my life, God rewards me. So that's why I said study, because my dad might not reward me today, but down the line, because I've been being obedient, I'm going to receive a reward, whether it be taking me to the water park, giving me some money. So that's why I said you have to study to find out who God is, because God rewards you for being obedient.
So the question you ask, why do you be obedient? And for me, the answer is real simple, because that's what I'm called to do. Right. And I think when we start, as we start moving, and you see this in our Christian community, right, we have to move with the reward being I'm serving God. Right. If I go out there and I preach and all that happens to me is people throw rotten tomatoes at me. You know what? I'm excited. Why? Because I just got to serve God. It doesn't matter the outcome. It doesn't matter what tangibly happened. It becomes in my heart because I'm doing what God calls me to do. That's my reward, right? And that's my greatest reward. So I think anything that we do, the reward has to be I'm getting closer to God. When I'm studying the Bible, if I'm studying the Bible because I'm trying to learn some verses to prove somebody something, you know, that's not really – I wouldn't call that obedience. If I'm studying the word because, like, you know what, God, I just love you and I want to know more about you, right? You know, once again, I truly believe it's the heart in which we do things is, and that heart is truly submitted to God, and not just not that submission that's begrudgingly, but that submission because, man, God, you are so great. You are so awesome. Let me seek you. Let me find you. Let me just get in your presence. Let me read about you. Let me just go to where you're at, and let me be there. When we move like that, then you start seeing changes in the heart, and then everything we talk about, submission, obedience, studying, it all becomes on the next level.
See, and that's where I wanted to go to, obedience versus sacrifice. So because to me, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but when you sacrifice, you're forced to give up something. You're forced to give up something, right? And sometimes sacrifice is the only way. But think about this. It's much easier to not be forced to give up anything, but to willingly give it up, right? Right? Obedience. For me, I think the difference in obedience and sacrifice is with obedience, you do it willingly. You just say, oh, here you go. Sacrifice, you got to be propelled to do something or compelled to do something. So in other words, you got to be made to do something, and that's why I believe that when you're reading the scriptures, you find about it being obedience is better than sacrifice, because with obedience you lose nothing. But that also, because all of this is, and for anybody who's listening, all of this is kind of circular, though, isn't it? Because we're right back to leading again. And the way to be effective leaders, and everything that the two of you said, because I believe we studied to show thyself approved. Now, that's not just something I heard read in the scripture, but study to show thyself approval, approved. In other words, study the word so that when the enemy comes, you can – a lot of people don't invoke the word of God when they have problems. They don't – man, I'm – this is something that happened to me. A real story, and I'll make it real quick. I was everybody know I had this traumatic brain injury, right? So I forget little things. If I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing, I'll forget something. Well, one day I was looking for my cell phone. I really needed it, and I had no idea where I had left it. You know, I was just haphazardly going about my morning, and I knew I had a meeting to get to. I could not find it. I got to my car, and I was like, oh, man. I was trying to leave, but I couldn't find it. I needed to make this call, right? And I looked for it for a good 30, 45 minutes. I'm serious. Tore my house up. And I remember sitting down on a weight bench in my little workout room. I sat down and I said, Lord, I can't find it. I need your help. I just cannot find it. I don't know where this is. And I was all kind of upset because I'm going to be late for this meeting. These people aren't going to know where I'm at. They're not going to know I'm trying to get there. And I walked out to my car and I you know how we do. Something just struck me. I believe that the Lord spoke to me. I came back in my house. I opened up the door. I came back in my house. And I walked directly to where my phone was. And what had happened was I had set it up on this ottoman that I have turned up against the wall. I never moved it. It's always there. I had set my phone up there, and somehow or another I had knocked it behind that ottoman. There's no way I was going to see it. And my phone's always on vibrate. I wasn't going to hear it vibrate. There was no way, but I believe it was the Holy Spirit. In other words, if we submit ourselves to God and we call upon God, that's why we study the word, so that we learn how to call upon him, so that we can depend upon him. And so in those times of grief, we can call upon him, and he'll answer us. You know, he really will. Studying the word, like you said, Chris, reading the Bible, it gives me that confidence to go. Why? Why do I need that confidence? Because if I am going to be led by the Holy Spirit, well, y'all don't want to get this. Well, if I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit, I ought to know what they're going to be telling me, right? I ought to have a relationship. I ought to be able to distinguish between what the Bible says. That in the Bible, he says that my sheep hear my voice. We ought to be able to distinguish what that voice is we're hearing. And then we follow. We're obedient to it. And in order to be a good leader, we need those qualities. We absolutely need those qualities. Why are those qualities important? I want to give y'all an answer real quick. And I know we only got a few more minutes here, but I want to give y'all an answer here. We need all of the qualities that we mentioned before because check this out. We need to be able to select a mate. And keep in mind, this goes out for any and everybody, but I'm talking to brothers here today, but we need to be able to select a mate who respects us. Whew. Either one of y'all believe that respect is a big thing for us as men?
Well, I think it's the most important thing.
Yeah,
right?
I heard somebody say,
like, women want to be loved, men want to be respected, and I lived it out.
That's
true. When my woman tells me she loves me, don't get me wrong, yeah, it feels good. Hey, thanks, babe. We appreciate that. But when that woman says, man, I respect what you do as a man, you know, that you know, I ain't gonna lie, my chest pop off a little bit. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm like, yeah, you know. So I think there is something, you know, that difference between love and respect. I think, yes, we want both, but for in the heart of a man, that's really what we are. How many wars have been fought just over some disrespect by men, right? You know, you disrespect the wrong man sometimes. That I just think that's innate in our heart. You know, so that respect piece is key. But once again, that respect has to be earned, and we have to be respectable, right? And I think as a man, a respectable man is a selfless man, is a man who is leading and walking in Christ, right? You know, and a respectable woman has that as what she respects, right? If a woman says, "Well, I don't respect a man if he can't do this and that for me," I'm be like, well, you should respect a man if that man is honoring God, right? But that goes back to that equally yoked, that alignment thing that we talk about all the time.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I know we're about to get ready to close out, but I want to touch on one last point here. I think we got about 3 minutes, gents. So we'll make this little part quick, this part of the topic. But one of the things I think that, and we've said it, you guys have said it many a time. But I want to go into just these last two things. First and foremost, Chris, you what stuck in my mind that you said is we need to read the Word. We need to study the Word of God. I'm going to go beyond just read. I'm going to say that I know you meant you need to study the Word. You need to get it in your spirit. Jason, one of the things you talked about was prayer. And I'm going to tell you, these are the two foundations of every relationship. You know, we ought to be praying without ceasing. Am I right or wrong? Why? And one of the things that we're praying about, as we read in the Word of God, God will show us, I believe this wholeheartedly, He will show us how to differentiate between a fling, right? We learn what a fling is versus long term. Is she good for just dating, or is she good for marriage material? And I will encourage you, do not date women that you're not willing to marry. If it's not going to marriage, Jason, you used to hit me over the head with this all the time. If you're not willing to marry her, then why date her? Why waste your time? And the way you know this a lot of times, because we can be fooled, because we are men, we can be fooled. And the way we can get to this is we have to pray, and we have to continue to pray. Pray, 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 and pray again, and allow God to guide you, because I'm telling you, these are foundational here. You don't get lost in these things. When you are following the Word of God and when you are speaking to God on a regular basis, it's hard to lose your way. Now, you still can. I'm just saying it's hard to lose your way if you're following the Word of God, and I think that's really important for us as we embark upon these times when we are, quote-unquote, dating. There are those of us who look at dating as, I personally say, it's just a necessity. I don't like it personally, but I don't know how else to meet anybody. I would love for somebody to arrange a wedding for me, but y'all know how superficial Cedric is, right? It probably wouldn't work anyway. So with that being said, I'm going to ask either of you gents, you got any closing words for our audience? Any words?
Well, one thing I can say, the words of wisdom, my favorite character in the Bible is Saul.
Saul.
He showed remorse. Saul was Paul. He showed remorse. Okay. He was sorry. He said, God, I'm not worthy. I'm going to go back and I humble myself. And I'm going to be a regular old Joe because I failed you. But God looked at him, and guess what God did? He showed him favor. You did what you were supposed to do, but because you humbled yourself and showed that you were still that same man, you were still that same person, you believed, but you went back to being a fisherman. And I love that story.
Okay. I like that story. It's a different take on it for me, but you know what? I like that. I like that. I like that. What about you, J-Dub? You got anything else you want to say?
I will say, like, you know, as we, like I said, I think the first and most important dating relationship is dating God and allowing that relationship to do what great relationships do, bring out the best in who you are as an individual. So I think before, to your point, before you start dating, you know, outside of you, start dating within you.
Yeah, I like that. Before you start dating outside of you, start dating within you. Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. Yeah, I remember listening to Les Brown, and he always quotes this this African proverb. And I don't know if I'm going to quote it 100% correctly, but he basically says, if there is no enemy within me, then the enemy outside me can do me no harm. All right? In other words, if you love yourself, if you respect yourself enough, if you love God, because, you know, God is within us, if you love God enough, you'll learn to love yourself. And when you love yourself and you respect yourself, it will allow you to treat your mate with the same love, the same respect, the same kindness. So as we embark upon these things in our lives, I don't know how I say at this point. I know we're about to close out. You give us another 15 seconds. Is, you know, in this life we live, especially in this day and time, you know, our moments are fleeting, all right? And tomorrow's not promised. That's why it's important to start today. Don't wait till next month. Don't wait till next week. Don't even wait till tomorrow. Find something you love. Embrace it. and chase it. And that is your related pursuit. Minister Cedric, and I want to wish everybody a wonderful weekend. God bless you, and y'all have a good night. See y'all later. Jason, Chris, hopefully I have y'all back next week. God bless you. Sister Kimmy, go ahead and cue us up.
No longer bound by my mistakes, I got a clean break. I keep a smile, no longer.